Okay, so I was talking to Edward last Lord's Day, and I asked him, "Hey, you think it'd be useful to go through some of the Easter origin stuff again? Because it's been a few years, I think, since we've talked through it." He said, "Yes, do that in the afternoon." And as it turns out, he's not here, as you know. Do continue to pray for him, please. What I want to talk you through, all right, is just basically the historical origins of Easter, all right? Along the way, I'll show you why it's. You cannot argue that Easter has its origins in pagan religions. It's impossible to argue that. It is genuinely nuts. But first of all, there's two words we're about to stop using for a while. All right? We're going to stop using the word Easter, okay? And we're also going to stop using the word Passover, okay? For a bit. This helps because so many things are solved if you just know a single word, all right? And it's not one of these two. Start with this. The Jews celebrated something which we call Passover, all right? They never called it Passover. That's an English word. This is an interpretation of that word. You might have heard this one before, okay? It's Pesach. Okay? Pesach. It's got this guttural thing at the end. Or Pesach, wherever you put the emphasis. All right? That's whenever if you look in the Old Testament, that's what you would see. All right? Now that's Hebrew. All right? Aramaic. You're familiar with Aramaic as a language? It's a sister language to Hebrew. I took a semester of Aramaic in seminary. It's for a lot of the time, you take the Hebrew word. Take the vowels out and change them because they're very close. They just have vowel shifting that occurred in one language but not the other. In Aramaic, which is likely a word, a language that Jesus spoke, all right? The same exact word comes out as Pascha, okay? Pascha. Now, let's say that's 500 BC, all right? If you forward to 200 BC and you have to translate or get this word into Greek because you have Greek speakers in Alexandria and they need a Bible thrown that they can read, what do you do is you can either translate it or transliterate it, and it becomes Pascha, which is pronounced just like this. And then when Latin translates this word, what do they call it? They call it Pascha. They do not call it that word, which shall not be used for about 700 years. All right, at least from the writing of the Septuagint. So, if you read, for example, if you read the Greek New Testament, you're going to see Pascha, 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 Pascha all over the place. All right, when Jesus says, "Go into town, we need to prepare to celebrate, we need to sacrifice the Pascha." All right, that's the actual word he uses. Because they're just basically taking the Aramaic equivalent, turning it into Greek letters, and just putting it in. Pascha, Pascha, Pascha. Okay? And so when you get to the early Latin and the Latin Vulgate, you've got Augustine. If he's ever going to talk about this celebration, which is not to be named, what is he going to call it? He's going to call it Pascha. And as a matter of fact, today, if you were to. Do you know the Spanish word for this holiday, which shall not be named? Anybody have another? I had to look it up. Pascua. Pascua. Right? In Portuguese, Pascoa. Welsh, Pasch. Irish and Gaelic change the P to C at the beginning, and it's Caisc and Gaisc. And so, basically, certainly most European languages, all right, that come out of Latin, they go with Pascha. So for most of the world, all right, they don't celebrate this holiday that shall not be named. They celebrate Pascha. So in the first century, you've got Jesus getting together with his disciples, and he eagerly wanted to celebrate the Pascha with his disciples, with the word that he would have used. Whether it was an Aramaic word or a Greek word, it wouldn't matter. It sounds exactly the same. It's just Pascha. So he wants to spend time during the Pascha with his disciples. Now we also know during the Pascha, Jesus redefined some things, right? during the meal of the Pascha, which would have been Thursday night, right? During the meal of the Pascha, they would have, of course, had the normal paschal meal, all right? And that word in English, when you ever hear of a paschal lamb, all right, that's just simply that same word, right? What he was doing at that point, he was changing Pascha, right? Which, as we discussed this morning, is an incredibly crazy thing to do, unless you're the one who instituted the thing, then you can change it. And as he was, he could change it. So he has this meeting with them, all right? They have a special meal. And that very night, all right, he is arrested, all right? From a Jewish perspective, that's actually the next day, because they go from, you know, sunset to sunset, right? And so the Pascha, which is both a celebration and an animal, right? You can just refer to the animal as the Pascha. The Pascha itself is killed on Thursday during the day, right, before you get together. Then you eat the meal that night, which is Thursday night, but also actually the next day. So regardless, that night, Jesus, all right, is captured, all right, he goes to the trial, and then on Friday, Jesus is killed. And then on Sunday, he rises again. Now, there's no question, all right, and this is really the way to approach, when did Christians start celebrating this thing that shall not be named, right? My question is this: the next year, are the Christians likely to celebrate Pascha?
Yes.
What do you think? Their leader, whom they now, a year later, are devotedly following, all right? All right, they're now devotedly following this guy who had wanted to celebrate with them and then started creating and adding new significance to this event called Pascha. Are they going to celebrate it the next year? Yes, obviously. It would actually be weird. It'd be really strange to think that the Christians, the year after Jesus died and resurrected, would stop celebrating this thing. Now, the next thing is, are they going to celebrate it the same way that they always did before? And obviously the answer is no. I mean, they probably for a while had figured out exactly how they're going to do it. But no, they're not going to celebrate quite the same way, because something new just happened, right? There was a new Exodus. There was a new bringing out of slavery, all right? There was a new paschal sacrifice, all right? So they're going to change it, but they're going to celebrate it. And as we see from the New Testament, you know, a lot of the Jews in Jerusalem continued to do Jewish things. They would still go through Jewish cleansing ceremonies. Paul did it in Acts, and that kind of got him in the place where he'd get in trouble. They continued to do that. So, of course, they're going to be celebrating Pascha. And so when I think about, if somebody were to ask the question, when would the Christians celebrate that thing which we should not be named? The answer is, well, they would have celebrated Pascha the very next year. And they would have celebrated Pascha the year after. And they would have celebrated Pascha the year after. Now, eventually, in theory, they might have stopped celebrating Pascha, in theory. But in reality, we know that they didn't. All right? We know for sure that they didn't, because there was a early Christian, it's a debate, not a heresy. All right? And it's called Quartodecianism. Because you've got to add isms on the end of things, because it makes them bad. All right? Anyway, Quartodecianism. What does that mean? You know, because it's Latin. 14, right. So it's these are the 14ers. All right, not the 49ers. It's a different thing entirely. Okay, what day of the month were they supposed to celebrate? Were the Jews supposed to celebrate Pascha?
Nisan
is the month. 14th day. So, Quartodecianism were the Christians, all right? who celebrated Pascha, not the Sabbath day. They celebrated Pascha, right, on the 14th of Nisan, also called Abib. It has two names. Like if you look at it in Leviticus, it's under that name. But the modern Jewish calendar, they call it Nisan. If you look up a Jewish calendar, which you should totally do, you'll find them online. I did. You'll see that Pascha starts next month. And you'll see it's on the 14th of Nisan, if you look up Jewish calendar. So the Quartodecians, what they did is they stuck with the 14th of Nisan. We're just going to continue with what the law says, and we will celebrate Pascha whenever the Jews celebrate Pascha. All right? Some of the church, though, went a different way. Part of it is because later arguments were saying that the Jews were starting to miscalculate the date, and so they went their own way. What essentially developed is the Roman Church, the Western Church, developed a system of this is how we're going to calculate when Easter is. Do you all know what the current system is for calculating Easter in the church?
Spring.
Okay, first, find the spring equinox, which is almost always March the 20th. Sometimes it's the 19th, sometimes it's 21st. But, all right, start the spring equinox. Then what?
The moon involved.
Yeah. Next full moon, then what? Next Sunday. All right, so find the spring equinox, all right, which is March 20th. All right, almost always. Like in this particular year, March 20th, there's a full moon, March 26th. Okay. And so therefore, the date of Easter is the very next Sunday, which is March 31st. I was totally confused by this calculation because I wanted to calculate it for the next year. So spring equinox starts on March 20th. And if I looked at the Griffith Observatory, they have a nice chart of when all the full moons are. It's great. It's very handy. They said March the 20th was spring equinox. April 13th was the following next full moon. And so therefore, I was like, okay, well, therefore, that's a Sunday. So therefore, that would be Easter. And that's wrong, actually, because they list their times in specific daylight time. And they said the time was at 5:22. You got to add 7 hours to get to Greenwich Mean Time. So therefore, it was actually, they listed April 12th. It's actually April 13th to go to the next one, so April 20th. Anyway, that's not very relevant. That's just how you calculate Easter. Anyway, so the Western Church were calculating Easter according to spring equinox, next full moon, next Sunday is when how Easter is calculated. According to Greenwich Mean Time, which they didn't care about, but we do.
But you don't know why the moon has anything to do with it?
I actually don't recall. I'm certain there's a reason. I mean, all of it has to do with harvest.
Because the date swings like by 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Between the years, you know.
Well, that's different between a lunar calendar and a solar calendar. It's the lunar calendar.
But if we just did the spring equinox the next Sunday after, it'd be within a few days of each other every year.
Yeah. Why they chose, I actually don't know. Now, quick for the, some people might not know. What is an equinox? What is the spring equinox? What's that?
Is it like a long?
No, it's halfway between the longest day and the shortest day.
Medina?
The winter solstice, the summer solstice, then. Right?
Yeah. Medina, explain the Latin etymology here.
The first part would be equal, mm-hmm. right? And then nots would be night. Yeah.
So when the night is equal, which means all the day would also be equal, which means this is when the sun, the spring equinox is when the sun essentially is going north and hits the equator, right? So it begin our spring equinox. Anyway, so.
But there's 12 hours a night and 12 hours a day. Yeah.
Because now we're moving towards the days are longer
than
March. So it is not equinox right now. It is not equinox because it's 3 days after the actual equinox.
Which is the first day of spring.
I think that's how they calculate it.
Unless you have the groundhog involved.
And then there's the autumnal equinox, which I don't remember the date on that one because I don't care. And that's the opposite, where the sun is now moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, appears to be moving towards the south and passes the equator on the way down.
That's the first day of fall.
So anyway, so equinox, that's how you calculate it. So now back to our narrative. So you've got Christians celebrating something called Pascha, all right, which is similar, definitely related to a Jewish thing called Pascha. They don't celebrate anything by this name. They also don't celebrate anything by that name either. They celebrate something called Pascha. And so Christianity spreads. It spreads to the West. They start doing it, and getting back to the Quarto-Decians, there was a debate in the 2nd century, all right, because Christians disagreed on, do you do our Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, or do you go with this calculation? We have a known debate where Christians were talking about this, and they came to, we're not going to anathematize each other, we're just going to agree to disagree on this thing. And so you know, when you get to the 2nd century, the Christians are still celebrating Pascha. And they're celebrating it so much that two whole different sections are, I think it's really important to get the date right, or it's worth discussing. As a matter of fact, when you get to the Council of Nicaea, which was in 325, Easter was apparently a part of that discussion, not a part of the creed, not even a part of the canons. But there was a letter that was sent to Alexandria, or since where the Arian heresy was really big. And then they talked about Easter, and they said, we've decided as a church that we're going to follow the Roman pattern, which is the based on the equinox, next full moon, next Sunday. That's Easter. I'm sorry, is that it? That's Pascha, because Easter doesn't exist. Yeah. Easter is a thing that shall not be made. Yes. So you've got everybody in not only the Roman Christian world, but to the East as well. They're celebrating Pascha, right? Basically, according to equinox plus full moon, plus a week, or the next Sunday, right? And by the way, the ancient world was extremely interested in the location of the sun and the stars. We don't pay much attention to it, but they, because they're outside all the time, and at night, right, they're like looking at the stars and stuff like we don't do because we're sitting at home watching Netflix, all right? They're very up-to-date. Astrology and knowing what's going on up there, they're super into all of that, where we don't care. So this is all going to be stuff that we, Yeah, we pay attention to this stuff. We don't pay attention to this stuff. They totally pay attention.
A lot of ancient buildings and worship sites, they have like a thing that lines up perfectly with another thing on the winter solstice or the summer solstice. Yeah.
And that would not have been weird for them at all. Yeah. That was just like, this is normal. This is totally, absolutely normal. All right. Now, who's worshiping Jesus at this time?
Christians
are, what languages are we speaking? We're speaking Greek if you're in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. You're speaking Latin if you're in the western part of the empire. If you're east of the eastern Roman Empire, which means you're not Roman, you're probably speaking Aramaic or Syriac, all right? So you're spreading out. Now, another thing that starts happening as Christianity starts growing and they continue to celebrate Pascha, all right, is missionaries start not only going east and west, but also going north, all right? And so you get Christians who celebrate Pascha going into Germany and places like that, all right? That's when all our problems started, is the Germans. That's when it started. No. The first time this word, all right, we can now bring this word, top one, back into our vocabulary. The first time that word exists in all of literature, all right? Anybody want to give me a year?
521.
Low, too low.
1017.
All right, too high.
837.
All right, let's go with about 730, all right? When Easter, all right, as a term, first enters literature, which means it would have existed before that, but still, Easter, all right? And it also did not show up again in literature for a very long time. This is Venerable Bede is who wrote this down. He wrote a book called The Ecclesiastical History of the People of like Britain. Anyway, he referenced that they celebrate the old ceremony that we've been celebrating for so long under the name Eoster Monef, right? The name of the month that it would come out. And that's where the term Easter comes from. So in some Germanic languages, including English, they started calling it by the name of the month, which is for them, was for them Easter, right? And so that's why in English today, we call it Easter, all right? It was because, well, English has lots of Germanic roots, right? Now.
Which month is it in German? 3 or 4?
I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question. Close enough for they could for it to line up in there, at the very least. So this gets us to a point, all right? Why it is ultimately, if it isn't clear, why is it absurd to say that Easter, all right? This is a claim you'll see on Twitter. I'm sorry. It's frequently made. Make it for Christmas. And for that one, it may be true. I don't know. I haven't done the history work. Easter is not true. It's absurd. For Easter, people say, well, Easter is based on the German goddess, Eoster. And you can tell based on the name. You can tell based on the name. It's based on the pagan ceremony. The answer to that is Christians celebrated Pascha for like 600 or 700 years before that term got used related to Pascha. So that's an etymological fallacy of some sort. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's clearly historically impossible, right? And as a matter of fact, Christians still today call Pascha Pascha. Latins do. Spanish do. French do. Everyone does, for the most part, except for Germanic people. So just historically,
is 325 the first, when is the first, like we were saying, would they have celebrated it the next year? Of course they would have, but is there actually evidence? Probably not, of the next year.
We don't have the next year.
When was the first one that we have evidence that they did it?
I can tell you exactly what that is. There is a written record in Eusebius of the debate between Pope Anicetus, all right, and Polycarp of Smyrna. All right, Polycarp was a disciple of John. He shows up in the group Writings of the Apostolic Fathers. We've talked about him before. He's the one who got murdered in.
So he's a Christian in like the hundreds?
He's a Christian bishop in the. He died in 155. Yeah. So he was a direct disciple of John by tradition. Died in 155. That means if he has a debate or a discussion with the lead of the Church of Rome at the time, then it must have been before 155. And. Not only was it a discussion, it was a discussion of all your churches celebrated on this day. All our churches celebrated on this other date. So it's not like we've decided to celebrate Pascha, because they would not decide to celebrate Easter, because that word doesn't exist. When are we going to celebrate Pascha? All right, it's not we're going to do it. It's a we've been doing it on the 14th of Nisan. And the Romans are like, no, we've been doing it on the Sunday, after the full moon, after the spring equinox, right? And they don't agree at that time. But that's, it's like we've been doing it for a very long time. And so your reason would tell you that they've celebrated Pascha the very next year and up until that time. Yeah. And there's no history that disagrees with it. It's just like when you get to the second century, you're like, yeah, we're just two large groups celebrating on different days. And we need to come to agreement. Which they did not do until Nicaea. And so, if somebody say, well, Easter is based on a pagan ceremony, No, that's 700 years too late. All right. B, what you're actually in when you say that is you're calling Jewish Pascha a pagan ceremony because Easter is based on something. It's based on Pascha. It's based on Jewish Pascha. Jesus based it on Jewish Pascha. He started it then. But anyway, so that's why this just can't work. It's just several centuries too late.
Quick question. So you're saying they did unify? I was thinking it might have been different date in Eastern Orthodox. Is that not true?
So they unified, but they didn't unify.
Okay.
They unified in the calculation. Equinox plus full moon plus Sunday. What's the difference between the two? How can they agree but not agree?
Wednesday comes.
Not quite time zone, though. That's the answer to half of my problems in the program.
Wouldn't they calculate the equinox?
Nope.
Different.
Well, I mean,
different
it, it would affect even how they calculate the equinox, I assume, as well.
Solar versus lunar calendar?
Gregorian versus the Caesar's calendar.
Julian
calendar. There you go. Julian calendar.
For the 14th.
The Greeks still follow the Julian calendar. We fixed time with the Gregorian calendar. Go us, I guess. And so they're a week off. And so typically their stuff is a week later than ours because they don't handle leap years as well as we do. So they agree on the calculation, but they're on a different calendar, so they disagree on the calculation.
I think the equinox is the equinox. Physical. Moon's physical. A week, Sunday's physical. I don't know how that calendar comes in.
That's a good question. I don't have to think about that. But their Christmas is always different than ours as well, and it's for the same reason.
Is it the difference between the 10-month calendar and the 12-month when they added July and August? Because weren't they what in December, Decem,
the 10th
month?
So that was earlier, right? That would have been before the Julian calendar.
Yes.
Before Julius Caesar did a lot of reforms with the calendar, which is why they call it the Julian calendar.
Right.
Because the Romans had it all messed up. For a while. Yeah. So that's why that's impossible. It just can't work that way because this word doesn't exist for hundreds of years when they've been doing it for a while.
What are they basing that belief off of? Just total, like, not having researched it at all?
Yes.
Like it sounds like it, or do they have anything that they're trying to?
Because you see another variation. And the other what's the other variation? Do I have another color? The other variation is, oh, it's not Eostre, it's Ishtar.
Oh, yeah.
All right? It's Ishtar, because they sound the same. And there might have been bunnies related to Ishtar. Fertility goddess, that's right. Babylonian.
Bunnies.
The problem with this one is, all right, this one's actually worse, all right? Because Ishtar does not sound anything like Pascha. So there's no name collision at all. What you have to basically assume is this name is valid and therefore it's based off of this. But it's only dumb English people. This is an Anglocentric error.
They're just like, it sounds like it, so we're going to go with
it. It is. If you look it up, it is. That's historically, it just can't work. You're just missing. You just went back in time 700 years or something.
I think the thing that drives that is what's the deal with the bunny and the eggs that we do on Easter?
Yes.
Where does that come from? Why is that a part of a Christian holiday? So what I've heard them say is Catholics wanted to appeal to pagans and said, see this thing you're already doing? We do one on that day too. Just celebrate yours on the same day we do. You can bring your eggs and your bunnies in.
So I'm going to give you. All right, I'm going to give you a really weird name. All right, this is his nickname. He is the Kiwi Hellenist. He is a classics professor, and I think he lives in New Zealand. Anyway, he's written a lot about this. He's not a Christian, but he's written a lot about a lot of this timeline stuff. Not quite like I did. But he writes a lot about the bunnies. There were also storks. There were also foxes. It just depends on which of the Germanic traditions you use. Mm. But if you look up Kiwi Hellenist Easter, you'll find lots of interesting information. But he doesn't approach it like a Christian. So he won't give you the history of Pascha, which I think is one thing that makes this presentation weak. But he's really interesting on the other stuff. So Kiwi Hellenist. So Ishtar also doesn't work either, because Christians have called Pascha, Pascha, ever since the beginning. And they still do, except for us, because we're Anglo-centric. So I don't celebrate Easter anymore, I just celebrate Pascha. And that way I'm cooler. Finally, last word, and then we'll be done for the day. Let's resurrect Passover. When did Passover enter the English language? Because, I mean, Jews don't call the Pascha Passover, it's English. Why would the Jews call, or at least, you know, maybe some American Jews, but... when did somebody gave me probably a snarky date? It needs to be within the realm of whenever English existed as a language. Anybody? No. I'll do it this way. What English translation?
Geneva.
Not the King James. If you would, if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, they'll tell you the first year, the first time this used, this word comes into existence, is the year 1530.
Yeah.
Okay, 1530. And that, I believe, is when Wycliffe, or is it Tyndale? It might be Tyndale. I think it's Wycliffe.
Most of the words in King James were translated by Tyndale.
Then it might be Tyndale. It's one of these.
William Tyndale.
It's one of these two people. It is in his English translation where he takes Pascha and doesn't transliterate it. He translates it as passing over. And therefore, Passover enters the English language. That's one reason why, all right, English Christians will not associate, unless they know to, they will not associate Passover and Easter, because they think they're different. Because in English, they're different words. But they wouldn't be different words in Greek and Latin. All right, that's English people messing things up again. Except that this time it's legitimately English people, not Germanic. So
when did Paschal Lamb become something we heard?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because that's English people taking Latin words and using them. All right?
I've heard that.
Yeah, totally. And I've mostly seen it in songs and hymns. I don't ever hear people say this unless it's in a hymn or something, right? But it is, because where does it come from? It just comes from, I mean, Latin. That Latin language in the West, when they write hymns, they're going to borrow Latin terms all the time. And so if you want to talk about the Easter Lamb, it sure sounds cooler if you say Paschal.
So that 1530 was not that long after 1517.
Mm-hmm. Because his translation was based on... this was it. Martin Luther's translation, and I mean some Greek and Latin as well. But yes, it's not long after 1517. You're totally right. Which this is, causes issues. Like, what's really great, you can actually go and find like the first printing of his New Testament. All right. And now I'm still blanking on, I think it is probably Tyndale. It is whatever the one the King James based itself on. You can actually find on archive.org a PDF of that printing, right? And I looked at the New Testament printing of 1526. And in the New Testament, he did not use the word Passover. The Pascha can often mean the animal itself, and so he'd often use the heifer, is the word he used there. Anyway, you can go read it if you want to. Go on archive.org, look it up. You'll find it, and it's really hard to read. They spell things weird, and the typeface is very hard for me to read. But if you're bored, go for it. So, the ending of this ultimately is, Christians have been celebrating Pascha, all right? They've been celebrating it from... All the evidence points to they've always celebrated Pascha. And so if someone gives you grief about celebrating Pascha because it's based on Easter, well, that's nonsense. That's just historically, it just can't work. There's plenty of debatable things in history. There are. And that's great. This one is not one of them. There is no evidence for it. I still want to figure out Christmas because I legitimately don't know if it is based on the winter solstice, is what they'll say. That's impossible by several hundred years. Can't possibly be. And the reason why we call anything Passover is the Reformation's fault. We can just blame everything on Germanic speakers, I think, is ultimately the solution, the reality to all of this. So if someone tells you, because it comes from different areas, it comes from anti-Catholic sentiment, like you mentioned. Don't celebrate Easter. That's something the Catholic Church made up. Also demonstrably false. All right? The Catholic Church that everybody hates from the Reformation didn't exist at the time of 325. Right? Certainly didn't exist during Quartodecianism or the Quartodeciman debate. So don't let, you know, Protestant folks say it's a Catholic thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It's nonsense. Don't let weirdo people out there who say, well, it's based on the pagan ceremony. No. Also, that's why that doesn't make any sense. And you can tell them that. They probably won't listen because that's not why they're saying it. They're probably not looking for a conversation. But you, as a Christian, you don't have to celebrate Easter. But if you do, then you'll join billions of people over the last almost 2,000 years. All celebrating Pascha. Not this Easter business. Pascha.
Just for funsies, when did the, like, commercial part of, like, I don't know if it's commercial or not, but, like, the bunnies and the, mm-hmm. when did that?
I don't know those dates. He goes into it. He goes into hot cross buns. He goes into so many bits. He just looks and finds the weirdest stuff. And he'll show you where he gets everything from. He's, like I said, he's just coming at it as he's a nerd. He's a history nerd. And sees those arguments and goes, these don't make any sense. Yeah. And here's, as a nerd, I'm going to look up this history stuff because that's how I find joy. Yeah, seems like a nice guy. Kind of wanted to.
This is related to passion, the passion plays, passion, is that all related?
Not actually. All right. That looks like it would be, though. All right. The English word passion, all right, now we think of passion as love, right? Love. When we talk about the passion plays, we're not talking about love plays. We're talking about suffering plays. Okay? There's another Medina, okay? Medina totally knows the word patior, the passive participle for to suffer is passus, and that's where passion will come from. Not Pascha. So, yeah. Does that check up? Okay, cool. Here's my fact checker right over here. Yeah. This is to suffer or experience. It doesn't have to mean suffer, it can just mean experience.
It's just passion and resurrection play.
Now, resurrection. I actually don't know what Latin that's from. It's probably from Latin.
Right? Okay.
Which means to get up, to raise up. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Is risen, I think is the we give up in Latin about this time of the year.
There we go.
And it's Jesus insurrexit, and Jesus is risen. So it's that is risen, not has risen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very important.
That is very important. Agreed. And if you know a Greek person named Anastasia, that's the Greek word for resurrection.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely not Greek. Any more questions? We're in full on nerd mode this afternoon. I'm sorry. I hope you find it interesting. Okay, so don't you let nobody tell you Easter's based on pagan ceremonies. Don't you let that happen. You know better. Anyway, let's talk more about it. Let me know. Totally, go look up Kiwi Hellenist Easter. Very fascinating stuff. Totally recommend it.
say Christ is risen, risen indeed? You know,
in Greek, it would be Christos Anesti. Alithos Anesti. You know, Christos, obviously, Anesti, risen. Alithos, truly, Anesti. Want to give me a trumpet sound? Thanks, everybody, for coming. If you have any more questions about this, please let me know. We'll close this in prayer. God, Father in heaven, bless us during this Easter season. Help us to set our minds on you. Help us meditate on your sacrifice, your boldness, when you became a man. Help us see you as an example and follow you as our example to be better servants. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.